Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. Don and Cliff together with me.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. Here we go. You know, it was tough to bring it together, but once everybody got on the same page, we are now joined by Don Veltman, comedy king in West Michigan, and Cliff Cash, who's appearing this weekend. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Cliff, am I getting you in Traverse City right now? Is that because you're appearing tonight in Traverse City, isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm doing a gig in Traverse City tonight. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of a Little Caesar Pizza eating a hot and ready.
Okay, good, good. I know that's like travel food. It's perfect because it's, you know, it just, you, to me, I think that eating like that is very underrated. It's just fantastic. That's one of the perks of living on the road.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Don has been singing your praises for some time, Cliff, so I was excited to be able to get you on the show. I was bummed because I wanted you in here, but you're so damn busy with shows in Traverse City on the 4th and then Howard City on the 5th and then in Muskegon on the 6th. It didn't work out because I'm leaving Friday. But, Don, can you give a little background about how the whole Cliff Cash thing and how he became on your radar?
Yeah, last year was the first time he did a show with us. Do you remember the story?
I didn't realize that that's who I was going to be on the phone with.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't even know it was Don.
Well, I realized it was the same place, but I didn't know that Don, I didn't remember the person's name. But okay. Yeah, what a hilarious night it was.
Oh, my God.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, so... You know, Cliff was coming through. It was the first time that we had him out there, so I had never seen him before.
And right.
We had this company party, and like, hey, you know, we know you do comedy down there. We think it'd be really awesome if we had a comedian for our party. You know, we got 300 people, and I'm thinking in my mind, oh, wow, this is great. You know, any comedian would be ecstatic. You know, 300-some people just packed, you know.
Sure.
All these people watching your show. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and it had nothing to do with Cliff. I just remember he goes up, and there's 300 people there, and 290 are talking. There's like a table of 10 watching, and it was a little bit warm that day, and it's also like one of those situations where you're so uncomfortable because what was happening, it just... I mean, I love comedy, and I know that's just brutal. So there's like a side door there, and it was right near where Cliff was at. So I kind of back out that door into the parking lot. So I'm kind of watching from the parking lot to separate myself from the whole situation.
Yeah, yes, of course. I would,
Cliff,
too.
Cliff is just killing it, just absolutely murdering it. Like, I have tears streaming down my face. And I'm thinking, like, as he's kind of looking at me, that he's like, okay, you know, hey, at least this guy realizes that I'm doing good. And the show gets over, and you came over to me, and you're like, yeah, thanks for laughing at me while I'm just getting murdered up there.
Right, right, right.
And I had to explain, like, no, like, you're one of the funniest guys we've ever had come through. Like, that was just hilarious, and I feel terrible for you. And I remember, I think the exact line you used was, well, thanks, I was going to have someone run over my head in the parking lot.
Holy crap. Now, Cliff, as you are sitting there, for some reason, the audience is not being receptive, which I've never understood. How is that even a thing that they can sit there and be that rude? That's remarkable to me. And and Don, are you like apologetic in that scenario? I mean, how does it work? Because you kind of let him into this, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I was, if I recall correctly, I think I probably apologized many, many, many times and begged for him to come back, because it was legitimately, I think you're one of the funniest guys we've had come through. And it was just disappointing that 10 people and me heard it. I mean, the fact that I thought it was that funny while right. all that was going on says yeah. a ton, because there was also, while that was all happening, there's the other thoughts going through my head, like, this is just terrible. Like,
oh God,
this you is know, not the way this is supposed to go. But even with all those thoughts going through my head, I'm sitting there listening to Cliff's act, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just hilarious. Like, how how are these people not paying attention
yeah.
to this?
Cliff, how do you handle this? I mean, seriously, you are in a very tough business. And I mean, I'm serious, man. I would want to throw myself out of the window. You probably did, but yet you hung in there.
Well, first of all, I want to say I think Don is exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think that there were 10 people paying attention. I think it was more like 4. I remember at one point, and the people weren't like, it's not that they were like yelling at me during the show.
Yeah.
They just were like, there's not a show. They were just were like almost unaware that there was a show going on. So people are just, it's all their, you know, it's like a big work group. It's like a steelworkers union or something. And what, so they're yeah. all like just talking to each other, like, you working on Tuesday? Oh. Hey man, give me another Dr. Pepper. You know what I mean? It's like the whole everything happening. And I'm up there doing, and I just kept talking about like different ways that I would possibly take my own life on stage.
Right, right.
See if anybody would, see if that would like alert anyone. Like, what if I kill myself in front of you guys? How funny would that be? You know? Like, I'm going to do it just for the laughs. I'm not even really that depressed. And I mean, I am now, but not
right, right. Don.
There was these two really sweet ladies, and they were like so into it. They were dying laughing. They were on the front row. But then like halfway through the show, they started talking to each other. And
right.
I was like, whoa, you're like the whole audience. You can't talk to it. You got to stick
right.
it out with me. It's like, you got to finish this thing out.
I like
that. I was just focusing on my girlfriend's face, who was happened to be traveling with me in the crowd, and just like really dialing into
Man.
Her like shame and embarrassment.
Yeah.
And really
how mortifying. This is, I mean,
I really fueling the jokes.
The fact that this was so long ago, I can't, I just hearing you describe it, living vicariously through you, it's making me uncomfortable. And I like how Don does like Homer Simpson in the hedgerow, just fades away and lets you kind of twist in the wind like a true friend.
He's like, I'm going to go into the parking lot in case I need to leave real quick.
Oh my
and I
God.
Thought the whole time I'm seeing him laughing, and I'm like, this guy's really getting a kick out of me just up here eating shit.
Right.
For an hour.
He thought you were dying.
And then I talked to him afterwards. He's like, no, I was laughing at your actual jokes. I was like, okay, well, you and those two ladies.
Yes. What's now?
You know,
sorry.
Here's the thing about the comedy business.
Yeah.
That wasn't even in my top 10 worst shows of the
year.
Oh,
my God.
Like, damn, 300 people not paying attention is better than the 8 people in a room that holds 300 who are paying attention.
Really? So even if they're dying there, as long as there's more people, you're still better off.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, man, that is a tough.
And there
tough
was free pizza, so that was a real
okay. That's problem. Key, Don. When you book these damn things, this is at the actual club, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do they not know it's a damn comedy club? How is it that they
they specifically asked. They said, oh, yeah, we've seen that you've got these comedy shows. We think that'd be great. We've all talked. You know, we want to, you know, we want to have a comedian. Can we make that happen? And, you know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, this is a good thing. You know, I can get a bunch of people that probably haven't been here before and see a good comedy show. Funny Business that said really good things about Cliff. I hadn't seen him yet, but I just thought, hey, this is going to work out perfectly. But obviously they talked to about seven people that said, hey, this sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, Don, you got to hire some shit kickers, man, to like patrol the audience. If anybody gets out of line, you start kicking ass.
Yeah, I normally try to do that, but yeah, in that situation, I folded like a cheap tent. Just
I know you left.
A bunch of steel workers, that would have been a brawl.
Yeah, I felt like the numbers weren't in my favor there.
No, it was totally fine. It was the story. I mean, as brutal as it was worth like the funny story of it. You know what I mean?
I know it. Well, it's amazing. As soon as that brought it up, when the dots were connected in your head, you're like, oh God, this is funny. And then you had to tell it again. Hey Cliff, I was checking out, you were doing this web series when you're driving around, and was the one in Nashville. What was it called? Drive, talk, eat, something like that?
Eat, drive, laugh.
Oh my God, I loved it. Why did you stop?
I was trying to get somebody to kind of get behind it and give me some resources to make it happen, and so I kind of filmed that to pitch to a couple different people in the industry, and didn't really go far. And so I just kind of felt like personally don't really have the money and the skills to produce video and edit and all that. So, I just kind of have it there so that I can show it to, you know, anyone from a network who might be interested in me as a comic or
right.
Show. It's just kind of content that I can point to and say, you know, this is one of
the ideas. It's like your own pilot of how it could be if anybody. Okay, so
totally.
So you've got your hand, obviously, in comedy. You've got your hand in some other things, too. What drives the motor for you? What makes you creative? I mean, when it comes to writing comedy, what is your motivation?
I think that, you know, I tried a lot of different things in my life. Since, you know, early adulthood, I had a sales job, and then I bought and renovated and sold houses. I lost my ass doing that. And then the last little bit of money I had from doing that, I started a recycling business. I ran that for 8 years and was never real profitable. And so I think when I started doing stand-up comedy, kind of a light bulb went off in my head, and it was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, what did I even think I was going to do? What would I have possibly done for the next several decades?
Right.
And so it really just clicked with me. And a lot of the things that had been liabilities in my life, like, you know, having a hard time focusing on one thing, thinking too much, talking too much, staying up too late and sleeping late. I mean, these are all things that make you a perfect comedian, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Like,
wait, you can't sleep at night anyway, and you're depressed and anxious, and you talk too much, and you like to make fun of things and criticize things. Like, so everybody used to just think I was an asshole, and now they're like, man, you're brilliant. Right. You know, like, I'm saying the same things I always did, but into a microphone now. And, but I've sort of always, liked to just find the levity in things. But I think what keeps me going is I like to, you know, I love stand up for the pure sense of making the crowd laugh. But for me, sort of the hidden agenda is I like to have a message. I like to kind of sneak a message in there in my material.
Really?
And make people think. And even if they don't agree with what I'm saying, that at least they'll kind of think it's funny. And whether they realize it or not, maybe they'll begin to examine their own stance on,
right,
on whatever that is.
So you know? When you do that, let's say you're trying to get a message about racism. And someone actually walks up to you after the show and says, I caught what you were doing there. When that happens, that's a special thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I just did a show in Cleveland, two shows in Cleveland last Friday with a comedian named Mary Santora, who I like a lot, who's very funny. And she's producing the show, and she brought me in to headline it. And she said, you know, my brother's in the crowd, and he is like your complete opposite on every like social and ideological issue. So we'll see how this goes. And I thought that was kind of funny. And then we got done after the show, and everyone had left, and I was kind of helping her put away chairs and stuff, and I got a little ding on my phone, and I had gotten a Facebook message from her brother.
Okay.
And it said, you know, I don't see eye to eye with you on anything, really. We're complete opposites on the sort of the political spectrum, but everything you said cracked me up. You were even making fun of things that I love, and I still thought it was funny. And you know, you really got what it takes and whatever. And it was, you know, and I immediately made fun of him for sending such a sappy message, and but I had to bust his balls right a little bit. But that's kind of that's really makes me feel great that I can sort of slip these messages in and take the edges off just enough that it's digestible for anybody, even if they don't necessarily like what I stand for or they agree with what I'm saying. Because you can't get up in a comedy club anymore and talk about specific politicians. You can't, you know, I'm not going to go there and use the T word. I'm just not going to. But I can make fun of racism, and you can't really stand up in the middle of the comedy club and go, I don't like you making fun of racism, I'm a racist.
right. Yeah, if you pick the right spots, you can insulate yourself.
You have to sort of go on the attack for things that are indefensible in the first place, because nobody's going to stand up and be like, I think women are less than men. No one's going to do that.
Yeah. Like if you ever did a subject matter about somebody who, I don't know, hired you, and then when things aren't going well, the guy who hired you backs out and lets you twist in the wind. You could at some point work that in, and then, oh, hey, Don.
I'm still on the phone.
Yeah, right.
There's some cities where I kind of have a little following, and so I'll go there more often than I'll go to other cities.
Yeah.
So, like Asheville, North Carolina, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Charlotte, or Charleston, or Nashville, and so I go there often enough that it's tough for me to have written a new hour since last time I was there. So a lot of times I'll advertise those shows as stories from the road.
Oh, okay.
And I'll talk about crazy shows that, you know, something like the Steelworkers Union Christmas party, or, you know, just crazy stuff. I've had a guy try to come on stage to give me a chicken wing. While wearing sunglasses indoors at night, like winners do, and fell. He forgot that I was on a stage and he wasn't, so he walked right into it, hit both shins on the stage, fell on the stage and didn't catch himself at all. Just fell like a dead weight. Hits the stage, chicken wings go everywhere, ranch dressing, celery, his sunglasses fall off, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, and. There was no joke that I've ever written that was ever going to top this little, like, he was like a miniature DMX, which is saying a lot, because DMX is small anyway. This guy was like a 3'8" miniature DMX in sunglasses who was just shit-faced, drops his chicken wings all over. And I was like, dude, this crowd is going to, look how mad these white people are that you just spilled ranch dressing. Like, yes. They're furious. Like, your buddy's mad at you for dropping these wings. Like, everyone's mad at you. You're ruining shit. But I had to just riff on that for the rest of the show.
Cause right.
Every time I would try and do a joke, they were like, you got to talk about DMX again. You
know?
So,
man.
There's so many stories like that. I mean, I can't even remember them all.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
If you do this long enough, like, crazy stuff happens. And some of it I probably can't talk about, but... it's definitely one day I'm going to write a book for my immediate family.
Right. Person. Now, Don, when you, when the first time you had Cliff in, you knew you'd have him back. Is it like, my God, he performed and killed it despite all of the stuff we've already covered. And then it's like, you get on the phone to the booker and say, so when can he come back again? Is it that quick of a turnaround?
Yeah, it was, I think it was almost immediately after I was working with Alicia from Funny Business to set up a time to bring him back. And then I hadn't seen anything yet. And then I think it was probably like November, December, we're starting to push out to towards the end of our, you know, comedy season shows. And I asked her and she's like, oh yeah, we've got it scheduled. She just hadn't put it out yet, but I was getting a little nervous. I thought, you know, maybe he doesn't want to come back. You know, maybe it was because of the experience, you know, but I'm excited. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, yeah, that's great, man. This is all really, really good. Well, gentlemen, this is great. I'm excited for you. I know you got Howard City on Friday night, and then you're at Back Alley Comedy Club on Saturday. Don's going to be with you. He can't wait. Keep an eye on him if things start to get rough. You know he's going to leave you.
He's going to be in the parking lot.
Hey, Don, is Ricardo involved on Saturday night and Friday night?
No, he's got shows in Indiana, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Friday and Saturday.
Damn it. I would love to help out. I'll be out of town, but I would love to MC again. You know, I want to improve my MC skills.
Cliff, Eric's got really good MC skills.
No, I don't. Awesome. No, I don't.
Well, Eric, I tell you, you really ought to consider getting into comedy. It's, you know, there's times when I've made $20,000 in like 1 year. You know, it's really lucrative. And,
you know, that's...
I have women throwing themselves at me all the time, usually in anger, but it's a lot of fun. You know,
Man. Well, I tell you what, that's more than I'm making now doing a podcast from my attic. So I think we're all together on this. This is fantastic.
Is that your subtle way of bragging that you have an attic?
Right. Yep. That is that is my subtle way of it. Yes.
I got a house over here.
Wow. How about that? All right, well, fellas, I tell you what, it's fantastic getting you on. I'm excited for you, and I can't wait till you come back again and actually get a chance to visit the attic.
I'll go anywhere for free pizza.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, boys, see ya.